Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Gymnastics Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Bueller, and I'm here with my co-host and twin sister, Brittany.
Hey guys.
This is the podcast where we talk about all things gymnastics, and today we're going to give a little update on the college gymnastics versus COVID crisis, Nia Dennis's viral flirting, and USA Gymnastics yet again making a horrible decision in partnering with Fluff Sports. We have a lot of thoughts and a lot of things to say about it, but before we get into it, we want to real quickly thank our gold level Patreon supporters. Thank you, Blake B, Elaine E, Rydog, Faith M, Kristen R, Lori S, Sabrina M, and Amy C. Thank you all so much for supporting us each month. We appreciate you so much, and we're sending you a big virtual hug for helping to keep the podcast running. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And if anyone that's listening wants to become a Patreon supporter, you can find more information on our website, which we will have linked in the show notes down below. And we also have merch now, which you can also find on our website. That's another way to help support us if you don't want to do a monthly donation. So either way, we appreciate your guys' support, and we hope that you enjoy today's episode. Alrighty, so we want to start with a little COVID update. It wouldn't be 2021 without some COVID still.
Exactly.
And we knew going into this season that it was going to be a difficult season, not only because of the training in the preseason. You know, some teams weren't able to get into the gym until late November, some teams in December.
Right, we have Stanford over here that hasn't even been allowed on campus.
Exactly.
And hasn't been able to really train at all. So, and they haven't even competed yet. We have some teams that have not competed at all yet, which real quickly, side note, I just have to say this. I saw on Twitter, there are some teams that already have a score for NQS, and then some teams haven't even competed yet. It's just so weird. Yeah.
And like I was saying, we knew that the season was going to be a little bit different this year. Like I said, because of the lack of training for some teams, but also just with meet cancellations. Mm-hmm. We anticipated that with contact tracing, with some members of teams getting COVID, that there would be some meets that were canceled, some meets that were postponed. And we're seeing that a little bit as of last week and this coming week.
Mm-hmm. The SEC actually had a week just for this because I think we were all kind of anticipating it, and it actually worked out. So only one SEC meet has been canceled so far, which,
or rescheduled,
yeah, which I guess is a good thing. But LSU Auburn, their meet is now going to be this Friday. That meet was rescheduled from last Friday because of some contact tracing within the LSU program. It was confirmed that there was no cases on the LSU gymnastics team. It was just a contact tracing thing, which is good. So they did have to cancel, well, not cancel, they had to postpone that meet temporarily, and then now they're going to be doing it this Friday. And the SEC had that built-in week where they were not intending to compete, and it was for if there was meet reschedules or things like that, they would have an opportunity to compete. So this Friday, LSU and Auburn are actually going to be the only SEC teams competing.
Yeah, Friday this week is going to look a little bit bare in terms mm-hmm. of gymnastics. There's only a handful of meets on, and like you just said, no SEC, with the exception of now LSU and Auburn. So mm-hmm. looking forward to that. And also, there is another week built in for SEC schools. This week is going to be the first week, and then the other week is in March at some point, I believe. I don't remember the exact date.
It's like a bye week.
Yes, where if there's any meets going forward from this point that have to be rescheduled, there is another week where the SEC teams will be able to make that up.
The next biggest COVID-related update, I guess, would probably be the University of Michigan. So all athletics at Michigan, not just gymnastics, the whole athletic department, they have to take a 2-week pause because of COVID. There has been a spike in cases just on the campus and just in that area, Washtenaw County. That's where U of M and EMU are, and there's just been an increase of cases. They've had some of the new COVID strain that's going around there, and I think it's just kind of a safety measure, which I'm not complaining about.
No, it's actually a very, very good call for U of M to be doing that, because mm-hmm. Eastern hasn't taken that step yet. Like you said, two colleges are literally 10 minutes apart from each other. Mm-hmm. U of M shut everything down. EMU has not. So it's a little bit interesting to see how each school within that same area is handling it.
And I know a lot of the athletes at U of M are frustrated, not just like gymnastics. I've seen like many athletes on social media kind of trying to voice their opinion on you know, having to take this break and they're not really happy, especially if it's not anything related to their team. Like, their teams are doing everything right and blah, blah, blah. Like, I get, like, the frustration.
Yeah.
But it also is hard, I think, for them to see other teams continuing to compete, see teams that are so close to them continuing to compete, and they're like, why can't we compete?
Yeah.
So I understand both sides of it, because, like, you know, they're doing what's best for the athletes. They're trying to keep people safe, but at the same time, it's like, it doesn't always make the most sense.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, it has nothing to do with the gymnastics team. So if we're just talking about the gymnastics team here, there's been no positive COVID cases on that team, thank goodness. The team has actually done, from what we've seen, a really good job with wearing the masks, putting them on immediately after you finish your routine, not high-fiving, not touching each other's masks,
cleaning the mats. Distancing.
Yep, cleaning. The audience is just limited to family, and there's a couple of alumni, like Liv Karras and Emma McLean were in the audience last week. So it's a very, very, very limited number of people in the audience.
Mostly cardboard cutouts.
Mostly cardboard cutouts,
there's a whole section of dogs.
I know, it's so fun to look in the audience and see, like,
who's there.
Recognize anyone.
Yeah. Like, who are these cardboard cutouts in the audience?
And I feel like we need to have one in there. I didn't realize it until it was kind of already, I don't want to say too late, but, like, it was already into season by the time I realized that we could have put our cardboard cutout in there.
We deserve to be there. We should be there.
I know. This is the first season that we haven't gone to, well, we've been season ticket holders since 2013. Mm-hmm. So, and we've been going to Michigan meets since, 2010, 2011?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little bit strange. But anyways, I'm getting sidetracked here. My point with saying all that is that Michigan has been doing pretty well, especially compared to some of the other teams that we're seeing. So it's unfortunate that they are one of the first teams that have really had to have this major lockdown, I guess, if you want to call that, where, again, the athletes are not only just missing out on 2 weeks of competition, but they're missing out on 2 weeks of training, which I'm a little bit nervous about. I think the team will adjust and they'll handle it well, just as, you know, any of these teams would. These girls are extremely adaptable. But gymnastics is one of those sports that it's hard to take that time off and then come back and immediately that next weekend be competing again and be expected to be at the same level now as everybody else.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a disadvantage, I feel like.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that affects them, because the second week of competition, Michigan did not have their best meet, but the first week of competition, they had a phenomenal meet. So, and the team is so talented, I feel like this is really going to be their year, but I am a little bit nervous to see how this is going to affect them. I mean, it's only 2 weeks. Like, I don't think it's the end of the world, but
half these girls went all summer without training and look how good they came out. But it's the fact that they're going to have 2 weeks of being completely off,
and then
that next weekend, they're going to be competing.
Yeah.
So it's not even like, it's just, oh, okay, we're coming back after having 2 weeks off. Let's get in the gym and start doing gymnastics again. It's like, they're going to be expected to compete that weekend.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. Whereas when they had all that time off over the summer, they still had several months and several weeks to get ready for the season. This is a really quick turnaround. Like, you've been off for 2 weeks, you're competing now, like, welcome back, get back in it.
Yeah.
So it definitely is going to be interesting to see how they can come back from that. So we'll be keeping our eyes on that. But I think just every team is dealing with this in a little bit of different ways. Last weekend, we saw Bowling Green at Eastern. I was actually there doing commentary for that meet. And Bowling Green didn't even send a full team. They had some events where they only had four gymnasts up. I think Beam was the only event where they actually had their full lineup. So I think that it's just interesting to look and see how each team is prepared and where they're at this point in the season. You have some teams that are just, like, spot on. They look fine. And then you have teams that, like we said in the beginning, that they haven't even competed yet. And then you have teams that are trying to compete, but they're really not ready to compete.
Yeah.
So it's just, this whole season has been so wacky.
And I know with Bowling Green, people on the gym tonight were kind of freaking out a little bit, because when Bowling Green released their statement saying that they weren't sending a full team, they were only sending individual athletes to compete and get scores for their NQS individually, people were kind of freaking out, like, if you've had athletes on your team that have COVID, why are you still sending athletes? And they ended up clarifying, which I was glad, because I was a little bit concerned myself, especially for you being in the building and commentating. I'm like, why is this happening? So it ended up being that they had athletes on their team that had COVID previously, and those athletes were all sitting out for a period of time, and they were just now either getting back, or they had some athletes that were still
Just getting back into the swing of things. So yeah. They weren't fully prepared physically because of previous COVID exposures.
And they have 4 athletes on the team that are injured right now. So that team is just dealing with all kinds of problems. I was surprised that they actually showed up to the meet. I mean, I understand it from like an individual standpoint and wanting to get the experience and to want to get those scores for your NQS. But, you know, there's plenty of teams out there that are just taking their time getting ready. And I feel like, you know, Bowling Green maybe needs just a little bit more time.
Yeah, like why push it this early in the season?
Mm-hmm. Also, another thing I wanted to say is that UCLA this past weekend, they traveled 8 hours by bus to get to Arizona. And I've heard that they're going to be doing that for most of the season. Yeah. So that's nice, I would say, in the sense that they're not having to, you know, worry about going through an airport. But definitely a little bit brutal to have to drive 8 hours to a competition. And then imagine you're done competing and then you have to drive all the way 8 hours
back
home. That
is such a long drive.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many other teams have to do that this season. Like I said, I don't think it's a bad idea. Like, it totally sucks. Like, it's not ideal to have to drive.
I think that driving a bus, even if it's a long drive, is going to be the safest option for sure. Mm-hmm. As opposed to having the whole team flying. But definitely still is going to be a lot on their bodies, I think. Just to be sitting for that long and then have to turn around the next day, compete, and then turn around the next day and do that same long drive back. Like, it's a lot.
Have you guys ever been in the car for 8 hours? Like, it's not fun.
We've been in the car for, like, 20 hours when we drove to Texas to go pick up our friend and bring her home all the way to Michigan. And that was probably the worst experience of my life.
And even just a shorter trip, it's hard to be, you know, cooped up on a, well, they're on a bus, not inside of a car, but still. I mean, they don't have a lot of room. It's just like,
just sitting for that long. Oh no, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I did that once in my life and I will probably never do that again.
But big props to them for, you know, doing what they can to keep the athletes safe. And even if it's sucky, all the girls are going along with it and everyone's just doing what they can to get through these difficult times. So
making the best out of it.
Yeah. Big props to UCLA. Speaking of UCLA, the queen, Nia Dennis, has gone viral once again. First meet of the season for UCLA. She's already gaining traction all around the world. She's got attention from people like Michelle Obama, Janet Jackson. She was on the Ellen Show again. So as it stands right now, and this number could continue to grow, but
it probably will.
She has over 10.5 million views on Twitter, 1.8 on YouTube, and 3.1, again, that's million, on Facebook. So once again, Nia Dennis has done it.
I feel like we expected this from Nia Dennis at this point, just because she had that amazing viral routine last season. I think that she always has like fun, catchy music, songs that people know. I know that her routine this year, she has a little bit of like some TikTok stuff in there. All music from Black artists. She calls her routine Black Excellence. That's what she's celebrating in her routine.
Yeah. She said it's a reflection of everything that she is as a woman today. And really just wanted to use this opportunity to make a statement, I think, especially with everything that went on this past summer. She can't use words in her routine. This is what she said about her routine. She can't use words, so she wanted to make a statement by using music from Black artists who have made, you know, such a positive impact on the Black community. And also, did you notice that she's kneeling at the beginning of her routine?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Which the camera angle for that was so crappy on the TV. Mm-hmm. Like, you could see her face, and then she, like, drops down, and then she's, like, off the camera for a second, and they're like, oh, crap, she's on her knee, and they, like, backed it up. Hopefully this week it'll be better, but yeah, she used artists like Kendrick Lamar, Missy Elliott, Tupac, just a bunch of different successful Black artists, people who have made an impact not only on the Black community, but also on the world.
Yeah.
You know, through their activism, through their music, through the messages they share.
And of course, you know, you have people on social media that don't know anything and they're really ignorant. And this isn't like the gymnastics community. This is like, unfortunately, when you go viral, you get attention from people all over the place and you get idiots that have to bring up, if we said white excellence, y'all would say that was racist. And it's like, shut your mouth. That's not what it's about. Like, Black people deserve to be celebrated. The whole world has been about white people for its entire existence. There's nothing wrong with praising a Black athlete and the Black community for being excellent and for being amazing. And that's what this is about. So shut your mouth. That's honestly what I hate most about gymnastics going viral in any way, is that you get to see the comments from idiots.
Yeah. And like the criticism that people have, or just like how people just don't get it. Mm-hmm. Maybe is what I'm trying to say.
People had to be offended by everything, and okay, stop me, because now I'm about to go off on a white men. They want to be oppressed so badly that they have to somehow make this about them. And
yeah, exactly.
We come to expect it, unfortunately, but I don't think overall it's not taking away from what Nia's doing. She's getting so much attention, and it's well-deserved. And
it's positive attention for herself and her future and her career. It's positive attention for the gymnastics community, for college gymnastics, for UCLA,
oh, yeah,
for the Black community. Like, so much good coming from her routine going viral. And that applies to really any viral routine, even back when it was Caitlin Ohashi that was going viral, or Sofina DeJesus.
Or Hallie Mossette.
I forgot that her routine went viral.
Yeah.
And also, Lumencia Hall, like, the original viral routine.
She's the OG.
Yeah.
And it's funny because everyone associates UCLA with going viral, but, like, maybe if you were a newer gymnastics fan, you might not realize, but Lumencia Hall from LSU was actually the first gymnast to go viral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was in 2014, I think. It was 2013 or 2014. I think it was 2014. But yeah, that was like such a big deal when she went viral.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think people forget about that. But since then, it's been like UCLA dominating. And it's good for the sport, and it's really good for UCLA.
I think that UCLA, it's not only their choreography that's so good, it's also the way the athletes perform. And it's also their social media marketing. Like, there is no team that's marketing themselves the way UCLA is.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like every team needs to take note. Just the fact that after the meet, they post high quality footage of their routines.
Yep.
And Nia, for example, knowing that she went viral last year, knowing the message that her routine has this year, and the importance that it would hold, the weight that it would hold, you know, after the meet, they immediately posted her full routine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's high quality. There's no commentaries. You can really hear the music. And of course, it picks up traction just like that.
Yeah, UCLA is doing it right. But I don't want to get too into the viral floor routine thing because Brittany and I actually have a pretty exciting episode coming up. Should we tell the people?
I think we could tell people. Okay. I think it's fine.
So we have an interview with BJ Das. She's going to be on the show. Well, we're interviewing her this coming week. It'll be out, you know, shortly after. We're not quite sure when we're going to release it yet. But if you guys have questions, if you are a gold or silver level Patreon supporter, you can actually send your questions. So we have a little post on Patreon that you can comment on, or you can email us, social media, whatever you want to do. If you're gold or silver Patreon, then send in your questions for BJ Das if you have any. But we're gonna kind of pick her brain about choreographing a viral floor routine because she's done the last two for Nia, and I'm not 100% sure. We need to, you know, check with her on this. I think it was just Nia's that she choreographed. I don't think she had anything to do with Caitlin Ohashi's.
I read an article somewhere and they said that she's had three viral routines, and I was trying to think, like, what was the other routine?
Gracie Kramer didn't go viral, did she?
No.
She just got a 10, and I think she picked up some traction with her 10, but I don't
think
it was...
Yeah, like, all UCLA routines get traction, but as far as viral routines, I never considered Gracie Kramer to be viral, and...
Mark Zetta didn't. She
I know to. That BJ did choreography for Utah before, but none of Utah's routines went viral either, so I was a little confused by that.
We'll get to the bottom of it, but we definitely want to pick her brain about, you know, what goes into... just choreographing a floor routine in general, but also a viral one, because she obviously has some experience with that, so...
And we're also gonna break down all of the previous viral routines. We're gonna talk about them. We're probably gonna rank them, although I'm not really sure how that's gonna go, because I love all of them, and I don't know if I can rank them. So we'll see how that goes. Stay tuned. But yeah, we're gonna have a whole episode dedicated to viral floor routines, so stay tuned.
Alright, so let's move on to one of the big things that everybody in the gym chat is talking about right now, and that is USA Gymnastics partnering with Flow Sports for all their broadcasts and content in the future. A lot of people are pissed about that, and rightfully so. If you're not familiar, Flow Gymnastics, formerly Gymnastique, has a little bit of a history that people in the gym turnout are not very happy about. The biggest thing was back in 2014 when they linked, there was an article about, okay, let me backtrack. So there was a big celebrity, I'm just spelling this out for people that don't know, by the way, I feel like most people probably know by now, but just in case you don't know, there was a big celebrity, like, nude leak, and Michaela Maroney was a part of that, and Flo decided to do an article about it, like, they thought that was a good idea. They thought it was, like, news, basically.
Yeah. And they linked to 4chan, which was where, you know, all of these celebrity nudes were at. And I'm sure they were at other places as well. But they linked to 4chan, basically linking directly to Michaela Maroney's nudes. And, you know, originally, Michaela said something about how the photos were fake, like they were photoshopped. But then, you know, very shortly after, it comes out through her attorney that she was actually underage in the photos. So the problem here is that you're not only linking to somebody's personal, like, photos, and it's very, like, invasive, and, like, clearly this wasn't meant to be out to the public, so it's extremely inappropriate and disrespectful to be spreading that around. But then also, when you factor in the fact that she's underage, you're now linking directly to child pornography. And instead of handling it properly, like, immediately taking it down, immediately apologizing,
and immediately firing the person who did it,
they didn't do that at all. They eventually did issue, like, a really shitty apology where they said something along the lines of, I went to look up their apology and I couldn't get to it because it was behind a paywall, but they said something along the lines.
Of course their apology is behind a paywall.
But they said something along the lines of, like, we can't cover news like the other news outlets do just because of our, like, stance in the gymnastics community. So it's like, what are you saying?
But this isn't news.
Well, apparently this is
First of all, it's a violation of someone's private photographs. Like, yeah, it's someone's
personal thing that was not meant for the world.
It was
something
that was stolen from her. And also, like you said, she was underage. So there's really two issues with that. You're violating someone's privacy, and you're also linking to child pornography. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's really gross about it for me was that they would use Michaela's likeness, her image, to profit off it in the past. They would have interviews with Michaela Maroney or content that featured her. So they were so quick to use her name, her image, as a high-level Olympic gymnast to get views on their site. But then the second there's this, like, nude league, there's controversy, there's drama.
When she needs people, first of all, just supporting her, but also, like, not contributing to it.
Yeah.
Like, this is embarrassing for her. This is not something that she wants the gymnastics community or anyone in the world.
Well, it's a violation.
To have their hands on. So for a top gymnastics site, which she has given interviews to before, and, you know, that's supposed to be
supporting her.
Yeah. Like, you know, the gymnastics community is a pretty tight-knit group. And at the end of the day, I don't think there's any news outlet that's, you know, about gymnastics that would post something like that because it's not positive news. And I understand, like, posting news that's relevant to the gymnastics world. Like, somebody gets injured, somebody got in trouble, and they're on the suspended list. And, like, that's kind of relevant in a way. How is Michaela Maroney's nudes relevant to the sport of gymnastics? It's not. You're using it as clickbait. You're using it for your own selfish purposes to make money. And that is just really, really disgusting. So I think with that, a lot of people are not willing to ever really accept Flo ever again. And it was also the way that they handled it after the fact, because the editor, I don't even know his name. Who really gives a shit?
It's like Joe. Well, I have the tweet that he posted. Is that what you're about to
yes,
say?
Yes, go for it.
So I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's Joe Beta. Blah, 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 blah. I don't even care. It doesn't matter. He said, someone was asking, a lot of people, I should say, not just one person. The entire gymnastics community was like, why is this article still up? Why are you not taking this down? You know, explaining why it was inappropriate. And this Joe guy said, he's the editor, he says, because we don't bury our heads in the sand on news just because the subject is uncomfortable. And that tweet was still up until just a few days ago when it got brought back up.
Did he finally delete it?
Yes.
Well, we got receipts. We have our screenshots.
As if, you know, people in this world don't screenshot everything.
Well, and Flo just now, in the wake of all this, posted some other statement, which Brittany has here, so I'll let you go ahead and read it, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, so Flo Sports' statement says, we at Flo Sports recognize the importance of learning from mistakes and working hard to ensure that they are never allowed to happen again. 7 years ago, while reporting on gymnastics, a content editor posted a link to a story that was wrong and in terrible judgment. When discovered, the link in the story was immediately removed, and the story was ultimately taken down.
Okay, stop right there. Because no, it was not. Like, do they think they were stupid?
Yes. So are they underestimating, like, the gym turnout and, like, the fact that we keep receipts, the fact that we have a brain and we
remember things? Well, it's almost gaslighting, where they're, like, telling us this is how it happened, and then we're all sitting here like, is that how it happened? Because that's not how I remember
their statement made me second guess how it happened, and then I saw other people in the gym turnout talking about it, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. They did not immediately delete that. That was up for a long period of time, the link was, and they had their editors, Brittany just read the statement from his Twitter, defending it. So,
they were trying to keep it up as long as possible because the more clicks it was getting, the more money they were making.
Yes, and they literally, sorry, now I'm going off. They literally got, like, suspended or banned, whatever you want to call it, from going to USA Gymnastics sanctioned events for a year because of this. So, no.
And then, USA Gymnastics decides that now is a good time to partner with them.
Nope, they're annoyed. They're like, maybe everyone forgot about it. Let's just, like, do this and, like, not bring it up again.
Okay, hold on. We'll get into that in a second because I have so many thoughts. Let me finish reading the statement because I said we were going to read the statement. Yeah. And then we're like, nope, we can't.
We're too wild for this right now.
So they said, public apologies were made at all levels of the organization, online and on social media, and we restate those again today. Flow Sports did not believe this editorial decision was right in 2014, and we still believe that to this day. Then why did you do it? People and companies make mistakes, but we remain dedicated to improving our business each day. Significant editorial staff and organizational changes have been made since 2014, and enforcement of new editorial policies has been strengthened to ensure such incidents don't occur again in the future. Flow Sports and USA Gymnastics share a common goal of increasing the reach of the sport at all levels. Oh my god. We will work to empower athletes and amplify their voices. And we have committed to investing in the enhancement of health and wellness resources available to USA Gymnastics members.
USA Gymnastics also put out some kind of statement where they said that Flow aligns with their mission.
Yeah, so it's and from like, the CEO, Lili Leon. She said, we are thrilled to be welcoming Flow Sports. Don't worry, I got all the quotes here. We are thrilled to be welcoming Flow Sports, a partner who is aligned with our goals of expanding athlete health and wellness resources and providing outlets for our athletes to tell their stories. We know that Flow Sports platform will provide a unique opportunity for us to continue growing the sport of gymnastics at all levels and across all disciplines. And there's so many problems with that. First of all, even aside from the whole, like, the linking to child pornography thing.
No, I want to say they're aligned with their mission. What's your mission? Posting nudes and gaslighting people after the fact?
But aside from that, like, true, that's 100% true, and that's, like, the major concern. But it's also growing the sport of gymnastics and growing your audience, growing the platform. You're putting your content that was once free to international fans, people all around the world, behind a paywall.
Yeah.
How is that going to help grow the sport?
Right, your mission to grow the sport. I have a brilliant idea. Let's take all the stuff that we used to post for free and let's grow the sport by making people pay for it.
And then putting it behind the paywall of an organization that linked to child pornography of one of our Olympic champions.
Like, oh my.
Sounds like a great idea.
USA Gymnastics continuously, like, is this a joke? Are they trolling us? They continuously make stupid move after stupid move. And do they not think that, like, we're going to catch on to it? This was the worst thing that they could have done. Flow Gymnastics, their paywall, they're charging people $12.49 a month, which if you add that up, that's $150 a year for stuff that used to be free.
Yeah.
Stuff that USA Gymnastics used to stream on their YouTube channel, videos that they used to post on their YouTube channel, content that was free, and now all of a sudden you're trying to play the, oh, we're trying to grow the sport narrative, and then you're going to make everyone pay for that?
Well, and another thing, too, that I have a problem with is, so, for example, Yeselo, that competition for years now has been behind Flow's paywall. That was kind of the one meet that, like, I guess on top of some Hubble college gymnastics meets, mm-hmm. like regionals and stuff like that, Elevate the Stage.
Yeah, because they partnered with the Big Ten Network and they put all that behind a paywall and it was like, shoot me.
Right. But, so they have a couple things that are behind their paywall. Yeselo was one that we always expected behind the paywall, so you knew that you probably weren't going to watch that meet unless someone like sideways posted it online. Here's the kicker though. You get threatened with letters in the mail that they're going to sue you and you get your stuff taken down for copyright. Because it's content that's owned by them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I understand that. I understand when you're supposed to be paying for content, it's technically illegal to be sharing it. Like, I get that. I understand that's a problem. But when they talk about growing the sport, USA Gymnastics feels like they're growing the sport right now. You're making it so international fans can't access USA Gymnastics anymore. The biggest sports
gymnastics organization in the world, USA Gymnastics, they can't access it now. Family members of these gymnasts, level 10 gymnasts, elite gymnasts, whoever it is, they now have to pay to watch their daughter, their niece, their whoever, their granddaughter.
Right. And also, did you think about this? They technically can't even go to competitions and record their own daughter and post it on YouTube anymore because Flo has the rights to that competition.
Right. And that's how they are recruited by college coaches, is by having videos of themselves and having it on their YouTube channel. Yeah. And they send that along to the colleges they're interested in. I'm struggling to understand how this is going to grow the sport in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. It's doing the exact opposite.
And I'm a little bit confused as far as, like, what stuff they're actually going to be partnering with Flo on. They did post kind of a statement that explains it, but it wasn't completely clear to me. Like, they said, like, GK Classic is on there, so, like, the U.S. Classic, the American Classic. But they also say podium training. So I don't know if they're saying the podium training's behind the paywall. Is the competition going to be behind the paywall?
No, I took it to mean that for Classics and for Nationals, that podium training was going to be behind their paywall, as well as the international stream that was typically free on YouTube.
Yeah,
so if you don't live in the United States and you don't have access to NBC or the Olympic Channel, whatever channel it ends up being on, I don't remember. If you don't live in the United States and have access to that, now you have to go through Flo to access the international stream or to watch podium training, things like that. National team camps are also going to be behind the paywall.
Elite qualifiers, I believe I read.
A lot of level 10 meets, which that's not really different. A lot of level 10 meets were already behind the paywall.
True, but also USA Gymnastics in the past, like with Nationals and stuff, they would post like top routines, and I don't understand how they're growing the sport. It seems like they're more trying to line their pockets with money rather than grow the sport. And it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me from that standpoint. And then also the fact that it's like, hello, Flo, like, do you not realize what they did to, you know, one of your top athletes?
Yeah, how quickly they were willing and able to turn their back on somebody and then sit there and try and defend their decision online until it got to a point where they were getting so much hate and so many people canceling their subscriptions that they had no choice but to take it down. Like, you were forced to take it down. You didn't actually reflect and feel like it was the wrong decision. You're saying that now because that's what people want to hear, and that's what USA Gymnastics wants to hear from you. But USA Gymnastics should not be partnering with an organization that was once banned for a year from coming to their events for violating an athlete's privacy and linking to child pornography. Mm-hmm. The fact that despite everything that's happened in the sport with the Larry Nassar scandal and with USA Gymnastics covering up that, as well as also physical and mental abuse of their athletes, that they would so quickly join forces with another organization whose, in my opinion, values don't align with what the direction that USA Gymnastics is trying to go in. Mm-hmm.
They're trying to hold back the sport by putting it behind a paywall. They're, you know, even with, like, written articles, like, literally you can't go on Flo anymore and get access to anything without paying for it. And back in the day, like, back in the heyday, when it was Gymnastique, that shit was free. That used to be our favorite site to go and get, like, interviews and, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff. I remember in, like, 2009, you and I would go on Gymnastique and, like, we'd find interviews with our favorite athletes and there's, like, training videos.
And they have the Workout Wednesday videos. Now everything is behind the paywall, including their freaking apology. They're literally monetizing their apology.
Yeah.
It's just, like, not a good look. Are you kidding me?
Once again, USA Gymnastics makes a really bad decision. I wonder if the Gymtronet is going to pressure them out of this one, because I think that we do, as the gymnastics community, we do have a tendency to get what we want when we complain about
it. We all band together.
Yeah, because this just doesn't sit well with me, and I know it doesn't sit well with a lot of people. I wonder how successful they're actually going to be when the community that's going to be paying for their content is refusing to pay for their content. Like, are you really going to grow the sport and even get a lot of money out of it when, like, low-key, nobody wants to give you their money?
I saw people talking about this, though. I think it was an athlete, the mother of a level 10 athlete. She was saying that she knows a lot of people, you know, either from her gym or just other gym moms that she knows that are okay with this. And they just want to see their athlete compete, their daughter, whoever, their family member compete. They don't really care, like, at what cost. Like, they don't care if they have to pay for it. They don't care if it's providing money to an organization that's exploiting minors, that have done harmful things to former USA gymnasts, former Olympians. Not that it matters if you're an Olympian or not. Like, the mm-hmm. principle is still the same. It would still be just a big deal if it was somebody who was a level 10 athlete.
Yeah.
It's the mindset behind it, and the fact that Gymnastique at the time, Flow Sports now, thought that was okay. USA Gymnastics bans them, and then now they're like, hey, let's pretend like that didn't happen. Let's all make some money together. I was saying it before, and I don't even know if I finished my thought, because we're just, like, going off here, but, like, it feels like USA Gymnastics is just mindlessly saying that they're putting the athletes first, that they're making changes. But then when it comes time for them to prove that they're actually taking this seriously, they're actually making changes, I feel like they just continue to drop the ball time after time. Mm-hmm. And this is just another example of that. If you actually cared about your athletes, you wouldn't be putting their gymnastics behind a paywall. If you really cared about the athletes, you wouldn't be doing so in a way where a company that exploited one of your top athletes, one of your former Olympians, was harmed, and then turn around and make money off of that. It's just so, so not the look. It's so wrong on so many levels. Incredibly frustrating as a gymnastics fan to see the sport going in this direction. And, you know, we're sitting here hoping that USA Gymnastics is going to get it right, that they're going to do the right thing. And it's just not looking good. The way for USA Gymnastics to restore their reputation after everything that USA Gymnastics has been through and after all the abuse that they've covered up is not to partner with another organization that in some way has contributed to the harm of another athlete, mm-hmm. The exploitation of an athlete. I feel like that mindset and just wanting to make money and caring about the money aspect is really what got USA Gymnastics into trouble in the first place. It was the fact that they weren't ever putting the athletes first, and everything was just being covered up in order to just keep making money, to keep pushing out athletes.
And they're trying to do that again.
Yes. So it's like their actions aren't quite aligning with the words that they're putting out in Lily Leon's statements. And that's the part that, as a gymnastics fan, I think we're all the most frustrated by.
Mm-hmm. We also did forget to mention how long this partnership lasts for. So if it were to go through, this goes from now until 2025. So
it's a pretty big partnership.
Yes. And, you know, it's going to take up a lot of meets in the future that we're not going to have access to. And there is a petition going around, which we'll put the link to that down below in the show notes if you guys want to sign it. That way everybody knows where we stand as the gymnastics community, where we stand on the matter, and that we don't support them. We don't support the direction that USA Gymnastics is trying to take the sport in. I think that at this point, that's the least we can do. Also, continuing to just, you know, tweet and use your voice. Brittany and I were tagging journalists, and we actually tagged Scott Reed, who published an article in the Orange County Register. And I think that that's the best thing that we can do as the gymnastics community to kind of get the attention of other people, to make this go bigger than just ourselves, to reach out to other people and people that have a little bit more power than we do because they're a part of the media, to let it be known what kind of shit USA Gymnastics is still trying to pull. Because the more that USA Gymnastics' name is in the media in a bad way, the more likely that they're going to get decertified, or, you know, there's going to be pressure for them to do what the people actually want to happen,
which is to not have content behind a paywall, and especially to not have it going through Flow Sports that doesn't have the best history of protecting athletes. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to today's episode. As we mentioned earlier, we do have an interview with UCLA choreographer BJ Doss that we're going to be doing later this week, and we don't really know right off the top of our heads when that interview is going to be out, just because we have to edit it, and then we also wanted to record a section where we talk about all of the viral floor routines and kind of break them down and rank them. So there's a whole segment that we want to film along with that interview, and it's just a matter of me and Ashley finding the time right now to do it. We mentioned mentioned in the last episode that we have a lot going on, so we're actually moving this week, and by the time that you're listening to this, we might literally be moving as you're listening to this, because Monday and Tuesday is kind of when we're moving. Ashley is doing commentary several weekends. I'm starting a new job next week. Ashley's in school full time, so we truly do have, like, 10,000 things going on at once, and it's making it a little bit harder to actually find the time to sit down and not only record these podcasts, but also to edit them. So just hang in there with us. We have a couple interviews planned outside of BJ Das. We announced her, but we have two other interviews. Both of them are really exciting interviews. One of them is with somebody who is very, very, very big. They're an Olympian. We'll maybe tease that a little bit. And then an SEC
superstar.
Yeah. So those are your hints. Those are interviews that the athletes have both agreed to. We're just in the process of scheduling. So just teasing some things to kind of keep you guys excited. We still plan on doing the podcast. If you didn't listen last week, we just said that it might not be every week and it might be like an every other week type of situation, just until we get things figured out in our personal lives. But we're hoping that, you know, by summertime, hopefully when things calm down, we'll be back to our typical weekly schedule and all will be right in the world. So just stick with us. You guys have been so amazing. We get so many nice messages all the time from people that listen to the show, and that always makes our day, makes us feel really happy. So thank you for all your love and support, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Bye.